This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Carrie Goldberg.
We're going to begin today with the state's effort to license legal medical marijuana dispensaries. It's still early in the process, but it's been a bumpy start.
No sooner had the State Department of Public Health granted 20 dispensary licenses than charges of conflict of interest came up. At the same time, we learned from the Boston Globe that at least three applicants claimed to have support from local politicians, support that the local politicians denied giving.
So where does all this leave the state? State's effort to legalize medical pot. Listeners, we'd like to hear from you on this. Are you worried that these early bumps in the road bode poorly for the future of medical marijuana in this state? Or is this just expected growing pains as the state seeks to establish what is essentially a new industry? What questions do you have about all this? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston.
In a moment, WBUR's healthcare reporter Martha Biebinger will be with us to answer your questions. But first, the executive director of the medical marijuana program for the Massachusetts Department of Public Health, Karen Van Unen, who spoke with us a short while ago.
Welcome to the program. Good to have you.
Thank you.
So let's start where you are in the process of licensing medical marijuana dispensaries. Three of the companies that were awarded licenses submitted applications that claimed they had the support of local elected officials when, in fact, it appears they did not have such support. So how seriously does that compromise the approval process in your view? And what are you going to do about it?
Sure. And you know, one of the key steps as part of the provisional registration is to indeed work with the applicants around their local support and to verify that they have it in place. And that all the elements, as they articulated in the application, are correct. So that would be the next step with the applicants, looking at that information.
Why didn't DPH check if those applications were correct and that support was in fact there before the initial approval was given?
So, Anthony, I should be clear that a provisional license is not a final license, a license certificate. It is really the beginnings of an overview and assessment of the application, as well as the local support, as well as the verification of the letters of support.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what the applicants have been approved for. And then if all those meet the requirements, then the final certification gets handed.
Right.
And it's not until that point that they can open up. So from the beginning, this was part of the review and process with the applicants once they receive the provisional certification.
Okay, so if you determine that these companies submitted applications that weren't completely truthful, that they didn't in fact have that local support, would you reverse your decision to grant them those licenses?
Anthony, without really being able to speak to specific applications, you know, obviously we take all the information that we get very seriously and evaluate it in the context of what we're hearing. What I can say to you is that it is important to us that what is presented to us is accurate and clear, that is supported by the local municipalities, and that passes muster with our regulations and compliance. And if through that process there are some issues and concerns that we identify, then we'll deal with those as they pop up.
As you review these applications, if you do find that they contain problems or claims that are in fact not supported about local support, about any other problems, will the applicant have an opportunity to amend that application, or will the application simply be thrown out?
The process is to look at the information that's presented and assess for its veracity, and then make decisions in terms of next steps vis-a-vis each application that gets submitted.
Mm. This has sort of created a perception that maybe there is, I don't know, that the process has been compromised a little bit. Do you think that's fair?
This is nowhere near final. It was always part of the process for us to take these important steps before we can allow a dispensary to open up their doors to provide high-quality, valuable services to our patients in the community.
Yeah. Karen Van Unen, let me ask you this. Some of the critics of this process have raised concerns that DPH has not revealed how the various applications were scored. So why not reveal that rather than keeping it secret?
The individuals who were not approved at this time, they are eligible and in a position to get a debriefing with us, and those are being scheduled right now. And as part of that process, they should have the opportunity to learn firsthand how their applications were scored before that information is shared with the public. So it's not that we're avoiding sharing it. It's just that we want to make sure that the applicants that are requesting their debrief have their opportunity to do that. And then once that's over, which we're hoping will be mid-March, every single score sheet with the detailed level of scoring will be made available.
All right. Let me ask you about one other concern, which involves questions of conflict of interest surrounding former Congressman Bill Delahunt. He's now a lobbyist. His clients won 3 dispensary licenses. He stands to profit from that. But he has political ties to Public Health Commissioner Cheryl Bartlett, who held fundraisers on his behalf. Why doesn't something like that scream conflict of interest?
The review process was completed by an outside independent contracted organization. And, you know, through that whole process, the scoring was completed for all the applications, and the numbers speak for themselves.
Well, I understand the process, and I'm not even saying that this is a case of conflict of interest. As you know, the problem with conflict of interest is as much the appearance of conflicts of interest as anything else. And so, you know, when you have a former congressman who gets more licenses granted than anybody else, who had a political relationship with a head of DPH, doesn't that look like a conflict of interest? And isn't that a problem? Doesn't it just potentially compromise this whole system?
Well, and Anthony, that's why I do want us to focus on the process, because it was a multi-layered approach where the scoring took into consideration several elements of the application.
Sure.
From, you know, management functions all the way to their operating policies and procedures to their siting. And it's really a combination of all those elements that resulted in the scoring and therefore then the evaluation and recommendations by the selection committee. The proposal itself, the application itself, carried its own merit.
Last question. I mean, given sort of some of the questions that have been raised in this very early stage of essentially legalizing medical marijuana in the state of Massachusetts, it seems like we've gotten off to a little bit of a bumpy start here. Are you confident that the process is going to sort of smooth out going forward?
Yeah. I mean, are there going to be bumps? Sure. Do we confidently feel that we've set up a process and a system to address those and to manage for those? Yes, we did, as part of the rigorous process that we've outlined once an applicant got their provisional certification, leading up to final certification, which may take months, and making sure that the applicant really hits all the benchmarks they need to.
All right. That's Karen Van Unen. She's the executive director of the Medical Marijuana Program for the Massachusetts Department of Public Health. And Karen Van Unen, thank you very, very much.
Anthony, thank you.
And listeners, we'd like to hear from you on this story. We just heard there from Karen Van Unen. Where do you think all of this leaves the state's effort to legalize medical pot? We'd like to hear from you. Are you worried that these early bumps in the road bode poorly for the future of this new industry in the state, or is this just expected growing pains? Give us a call, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And we're joined now by WBUR's medical reporter, Martha Biebinger, who's been following this story closely. And hi, Martha, thanks for coming in.
Hi, Anthony.
Good to have you. So you heard what Karen Van Unen had to say about these early bumps in the permitting process of the state's first marijuana dispensaries. What questions remain unanswered in your mind about all of this?
Well, we didn't really hear her respond, Anthony, to your question about whether applicants will be able to amend their application. So in one case, the Good Chemistry license, where they claimed to have some local support that didn't exist, they had cut and pasted.
Good Chemistry is the name of the company,
of the
applicant. Yeah.
Who has a provisional license in Boston now. They had cut and pasted the section from their cultivation part of the application that said we talked to the chief of police and local officials. They had cut and pasted that into the Boston section. So they have something on the application that is not accurate and could, according to the Department of Public Health, be taken as a legal indication of false information on an application. Now, will DPH say, okay, we see, same language, you probably made a mistake, you cut and pasted, which is what Good Chemistry says they did. We'll let you change that. Or will they say, you're out now? And if they're out now, does that mean they open up the application process to more people who come into Boston? There are just a lot of unanswered questions.
All right.
And can I raise one more?
Yes, please do.
Which you did just mention in the interview, which is this whole question of scoring.
Hmm.
We don't know exactly how they chose who got an application and who didn't. Mm-hmm. What did they get points for? Who got more than others? Because if they gave a lot of points to these guys for that local support, even if they let them amend the application, does that mean that they wouldn't have been awarded a license in the first place?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, this really gets down to the issue of really understanding the process in the most public of ways, right?
Yes, transparency.
Transparency.
Exactly.
All right. Now, despite these early bumps in the road, we shouldn't give the impression that this process is going completely off the tracks. You've been talking to some local officials who've been involved in the permitting process as well. What have you heard?
Well, so for in Brookline, as an example, the person who, one of the people who submitted an application and who has a provisional license now, did speak to local authorities, to the chief of police, to the town leaders, including the health department leader, and has their backing.
Mm-hmm.
They know where the dispensary is supposed to go, and they're comfortable recommending that it move forward, realizing that there are still a number of steps to take. So it's not to suggest that all of the applications, once they start getting a closer look, will bear a lot of flaws, but we just don't know how many applications are flawed at this point.
So what is the next step in this process? Let's assume that the permitting process goes forward as planned. What else has to happen at the local level before these permits are finally awarded?
There are zoning hearings in most communities to confirm that what the person wants to do in that retail space is fits the code for the town or city. There are, in some cases, inspections that have to take place. You remember that they're going to be making food products in some cases in these places. They're going to be distilling marijuana into oils and things. So depending on the local health rules, there will be inspections there as well. And then it goes back to the state, who has to issue the final license. And there are conversations taking place between each of these applicants now, where DPH says, now we're going through the vetting process. We may not have done it carefully the first time. Now we're going to be sure that all the pieces are in place.
Listeners, we're talking to Martha Biebinger, WBUR healthcare reporter, about what has to happen next as the state moves toward legally licensed medical marijuana dispensaries. You can join the conversation, 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Let's take a couple of calls. Let's go to Alex, who's calling from Wellesley. Hi, Alex. You're on the air.
Hi. How's it going?
Very well. What's on your mind?
You know, I mean, you're saying that the speed bumps are kind of to be expected almost with any new industry. You can't really come out of the gate running. I just think, you know, that this is really what the people want. That's why it's gotten this far. And if it's truly what everybody wants, it'll keep going. You know, you can't really stop everybody. And, yeah, some people are going to cheat the system. Some people are going to kind of mess it up for everybody. But, you know, eventually, if we're patient, you kind of will just get what you want.
Okay, Alex, we hear you. So Martha, there's Alex talking about speed bumps to be expected. And in truth, we are, you know, the state really is embarking. It's not just a question of licensing a few new dispensaries. This is really establishing a new industry.
Right. And many people who support the establishment of medical marijuana say, it's better if we have oversight and regulation. So even if we are hitting some hurdles here, we need to get past those to the point where there is somebody who's paying attention to how people are being certified for the use. We don't have a patient registration system yet. That's mm-hmm. still in the works. We have doctors, most of whom are really reluctant to start prescribing this. We need to give some more information to people, and we need to have a sense that somebody is watching what's happening. And the rules to do that are not in place yet.
Interesting. Let's go to Dan, who's calling from Brighton. Hi, Dan. You're on the air.
I've talked to a couple of people about Delahunt, and the question is, I don't know, was it 18 that he got approved for?
No, he got approved for 3, and this is former congressman and former Norfolk District Attorney
Delahunt.
So only 3.
3.
Even though I heard there's some questions about that still, but 3 is not as bad. I thought it was a lot higher, so it just makes you wonder, you know, is this now a monopoly, or is he just going to keep on only 3?
Well, 3 is still more than anyone else got. And Martha, what's your sort of take on the Delahunt angle of this story? You heard what Karen Van Unen said about it, but it is hard to look at this piece of the story and see former congressman who had a political relationship with the head of DPH gets 3 licenses. There's at least the appearance of a conflict there. Hard
yes.
to deny.
No, absolutely. And to the point that the caller just raised, We don't know how or why he was awarded those exactly because we haven't seen the scores. We haven't seen the details mm-hmm. for what made his applications stand out. So he got, just to clarify on the numbers, the companies that he was working with were awarded 3 of 20 provisional licenses so far. The state has said that they may award an additional 4 or 5 to counties in which they did not yet get applicants who they thought were qualified. So whether the congressman will apply for some of those in addition, I don't think a monopoly is exactly the way to think of it, but he clearly did stand out among the applicants.
All right. Let's take another call. Let's go to Brian, who's calling from Quincy. And Brian, I understand you're a city councilor from Quincy?
I am. I represent the area in Quincy where the proposed site for the for one of the dispensaries that was provisionally licensed.
Okay, so tell me about your experience or concern about what's going on.
Well, from the standpoint of a local elected official, my concern has always been, right from the beginning of the, after the ballot initiative was passed, was how we put this in place. Mm-hmm. In Quincy, we were the first to change our zoning code to allow for a use of a medical marijuana dispensary site, as well as put in some conditions like it can't be within 1,500 feet of a school or a residential area. And then we started getting phone calls from these dispensaries. And I probably sat down with a half dozen dispensary owners or potential owners who wanted to site their facility in Quincy. And at every step, I would always say, I'd love to have a community meeting so that we can discuss this with the public. And at that point, prior to the applications, no one wanted to come and have a public meeting. Now, we had some public hearings in Quincy at the city council relative to the ordinance and relative to a hypothetical discussion if a dispensary came to Quincy, what it would look like and what concerns folks would have. But none of the dispensary owners were willing at that time, prior to the provisional improvements, to come to a community meeting. Hmm. And then once they submitted that application, there was a very short window between which the Phase 1 and the Phase 2 applications were due. So my concern was really that they shortchanged the public in allowing some input. And so now you have other elected officials, like in Boston, I saw the quote from Councilor Murphy saying that he didn't know the specific site that facility was going to be located in. And I suspect that the reason why some of the problems are occurring is because it was really rushed. This application process was really rushed. There was a condensed process for the applicants, but as well as for the community who wanted to have input into where these things would be located.
So, Brian, what is your suggestion? I mean, what would be the best way to sort of fix this process going forward from here?
Well, I think it's an open process. So I think the first thing the DPH has to do is release the scores,
yep.
release the application so that the public can see exactly what people put in the applications. Now, I don't know for sure, but I trust I'm one of those officials that was put down as not being opposed in the application, and I'm fine with that. What we've done in Quincy and what we'll continue to do is have an open public conversation about this. We have a community meeting scheduled in March with the dispensary operators to come out and tell the public and listen to the public about what their concerns are and tell them about what they want to do and what their shop's going to look like. And I trust as we move forward with that, we'll enter into some sort of host agreement with the dispensary to kind of offset and to mitigate some of the negative impacts that a dispensary may bring in Quincy.
All right, Brian. Well, it was really good to have the perspective of a local public official. Thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Martha there. So that's Brian Palmucci from Palmucci calling from Quincy, city councilor there, sounding like a sort of advocate of more openness, more time to consider this stuff.
Yes. No, I think that there will be hearings. Many of the local processes that we discussed earlier, Anthony, the zoning and inspection processes and stuff, include a community hearing. So in most communities, there will be at least one attempt to speak out on the pros and cons of locating mm-hmm. in the specific site or in the town generally.
Yeah. I'd like you, Martha, to say more about what you're hearing from the medical community, because this, of course, is a community that you're close to. You spend a lot of time covering it. What are they saying at this point in this whole process? What are you hearing from doctors?
Most doctors are very reluctant to issue certificates at this point. And it's not necessarily about their personal opposition or support for the use of medical marijuana, but it's because they're trained to dispense medicine based on research. Mm-hmm. And there is not the type of FDA-approved human trials and such of various types of marijuana for various medical applications. So, for instance, if you came in and you have epilepsy, Anthony, and you're worried about seizures, could medical marijuana help you? The doctor doesn't know.
Hmm.
He or she could write a certificate, but they really probably have no clue either whether it will help in general or what type of marijuana will help. And doctors just don't want to issue certificates when they aren't certain about the effects of the drugs they're prescribing.
All right. It's a brave new world. Let's take one more call. Martin is calling from Nashua. Hi, Martin. You're on the air.
Hi. I was overhearing a conversation and there's traffic, which is really awesome. But I couldn't help not calling about this issue, which is about time, you know, as far as a whole stamp on this issue. And I'm glad that we're taking a really progressive approach on this. And, yeah, it's a really faulty situation that if you go way back, you know, having William Randolph Hearst, lobby the heck out of the government. I mean, the guy really, he ran the newspaper industry, and the guy had a really huge and abundant amount of land where he could grow timber. I mean, the guy was, you know, trying to get his way, and he did, you know. Fast forward all this, you know, till this.
Hey, Martin, I'm sorry to jump in here. I'm going to ask you to just get to the point because we're running out of time. So if you have a specific question for Martha, go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt, but our time is a ticking.
My question as far as this topic is, is there a certain time frame that this whole delegation is going to really, really take a firm position on this, because it's just...
All right, let me put the question about time frame to Martha. Martin raises the question about time frame, but are we talking months, years before the first marijuana dispensary opens up? Any idea?
When they issued the licenses at the end of January, the thought was that the first dispensary probably could not open, given the amount of time it takes to literally grow the weed, before July or August. Mm-hmm. Now, whether the bumps that we have hit in this application process will delay that, I don't think we know yet, Anthony.
Okay. And Martha, maybe a final question to you, and that is, you know, we've been using this term bumps on the road a lot. What's your view? Do you think these are routine bumps, sort of to be expected as the state moves toward establishing a whole new industry, or something a little more worrisome going on out there?
I wouldn't use the word expected, but I would say it would be surprising if we didn't stumble in this process, because as you said, it's a new industry. We are confronting the conflict between state and federal laws, and the use of a substance that is really very confusing for the medical community.
All right. Well, that's WBUR's medical reporter, Martha Biebinger. Martha, thanks so much for doing this with us today. We appreciate it.
Sure.
And listeners, stay with us. Coming up, a Boston journalist visits the Himalayan nation best known for its gross national happiness policy. I'm Anthony Brooks with Carrie Goldberg. This is Radio Boston.